Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to give you a break from some of the political commentary we've been doing here lately with the guests because it is political season, but today is a very interesting guest, Brian Sedella. He is the founder of Forever Young Med Spa. The website is foreveryoungmedspa.us, and he's here today to talk to us about a fascinating subject. And the subject is, for our business owners and listeners and people that are managing businesses out there, how to hire an effective staff. So, Brian, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
I am a participant. I want to hear because I have staff. Okay. I am very curious to hear what you can tell me about. We'll do a little bit of background about yourself, but I'm very curious about how to hire an effective staff.
Well, I've been doing hiring for probably the better part of the last 30 years. And in that time, I've interviewed close to 1,000 people.
Wow.
Face-to-face. Let me get with the first mistake that people make in interviewing, and then that is that they interview two or three people for one job and make a quick decision. So whenever I've been successful in interviewing based on need, I interview a minimum of 12 people.
Wow.
And it takes a lot of time, and you get a lot of people who are pretty qualified, but still don't have that A-level talent that you really want in an organization. So the first rule of thumb is to interview 10 to 12 people, regardless of position, even for a receptionist, because you never know when that A player is going to walk through the door.
Well, and you know what? On that point, you know, people don't always think that that's the most important position, but it is one of the most important positions for any business.
A receptionist is absolutely the most, it is the most important position. It's the first face and last face, especially when you're meeting, in my case, new patients or new clients. It's extremely important. I can't even begin to overemphasize how important it is to have an A-level receptionist.
Well, but before we continue, let's do this, Brian. Give our listeners a little bit of background, because I think your story is amazing. Talk about how you started Forever Young Med Spa back in 2005 and your growth pattern, which is to me is just astounding.
Well, back in 2004, I was a C-level executive in corporate America running a telecommunications cable concern, primarily in Central America. And in the Caribbean. And I happened to be in Guatemala City at this point, and make a long story short, I had a kind of a nerve-wracking experience where I thought I was going to be kidnapped.
Oh, boy.
I was not kidnapped, but it scared the bejesus out of me. And
you out of corporate world.
Scared me out of the corporate world, exactly. I said, do I really want to be doing this? I was making good money, but money is not the most important thing. Living is, right?
Yes.
So staying alive. So went back to my room, and after I got through shaking, I was watching a program called The Swan, which was a transformation
program. I've seen that.
Yeah. Maybe 7, 8, 10 years old.
I enjoyed that. It's not on anymore, is it?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, but I liked it. I thought it was cool.
So I started looking at this program and thinking, there has to be a business model around this somewhere. And within 2 weeks of doing some research on the internet, I found that there was an emerging industry back in those days called a medical spa or medispa. Primarily emerging, as you would expect, in California and Arizona and some in Canada. I resigned my position, spent the next 9 months traveling the U.S. and Canada, and then decided to open a medical spa, and we named it after listening to I'll give credit where credit is due, a Rod Stewart song. I decided to name it Forever Young. Because
very good.
It kind of tells the patients everything we strive to do.
Well, I'm sure you'd be happy to welcome him as a client.
Actually, he's down here in the next couple of weeks, and we're actually trying to get him in, yes.
That would be fantastic. And Brian's business, the Forever Young Med Spa, is in South Florida. It is Cooper City, which is western Fort Lauderdale. So
correct.
I am sure you have a lot of clientele down there. Okay. And the thing that most astounded me, Brian, is that you went from zero clients or patients in 2005 to today you have over 3,000.
Yeah, that was
wow.
A scary time, you know, opening your doors. And I'm not a doctor, so I had to hire all the medical folks, board-certified plastic surgeons.
So that's part of this process of hiring and experiencing what you're sharing with us. And so doing that, you were looking just for the A-level players.
Yes, and it took the better part of 5 months for me to hire my first people. And that was after interviewing and going through literally hundreds and hundreds of resumes. So beginning with the resumes, that when you post an ad for a person you're looking for, one of the other common mistakes I see is people tend to glorify the position,
mm-hmm.
and you know, instead of telling them
what it is,
an applicant that it's hard work. We need somebody dedicated. We need someone who's willing to work the 50 to 60 hours to be successful. Now, this is a hard business to be in. It takes a thick skin. People tend to write ads that look how great we are. Well, yeah. you're going to get a person responding to that ad that's looking for that type of easy peasy.
Easy peasy
working environment.
Wow, that's fairly insightful. You've just joined us, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Sedella is our guest, founder of Forever Young Med Spa. The website, which is a great place to go get some information and see more about what Brian does, is foreveryoungmedspa.us. Brian, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
Sounds great.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Brian Sedella on the line with us. He is founder of Forever Young Med Spas, foreveryoungmedspa.us. Brian, talk to us some more. You really have me intrigued. Talk to me more about this concept or what we need to avoid of hiring based on urgency of need. Because, you know, a lot of times small businesses don't want to make a hiring decision or don't want to do it until they really have the need, especially in these economic times. So how do we break that cycle of trying to be prudent so that we make a better hiring decision?
One is to always be interviewing. You know, unfortunately, a lot of business owners, you know, don't allow the time to look for A-level players when they already have A-level players.
That's so good. So I've never heard anybody say that.
Yeah, always, always be interviewing because you never know when an A player is going to walk through your door. And there's always room in any organization for A-level player.
That's true. And the worst thing, what's the worst is that you say, we love you, we just don't have anything right now. Or, you know what? Golly, you're giving me the idea of offering a new service or expanding in a new area.
That's correct. And so when you're forced into a situation, you know, let's say someone comes into your office tomorrow and they decided to move away to a different state or that they're taking another position. Now you're in a sense of need, right? You have to go out and make it happen. And if you have to start fresh, you know, posting the ad, you know, that takes a lot of time. But if you have a stack of 10 people you've interviewed that are all A-level players, you can make 10 quick phone calls, and chances are you can probably fill a position with an A-level player pretty quickly.
That's very clever, Brian. You know what it reminds me of is planning ahead, like at lunchtime. Sometimes I make the mistake of not planning my lunch ahead of time, and then what do? We make a bad decision because we do it on short notice. And so we hit the drive-thru.
What is lunchtime exactly?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot better about it. I'm trying to be better about my diet. But it's like, okay, well, I only have 10 minutes. I better run down to the McDonald's and get the drive-thru and get back to work. Whereas if I'd packed my lunch, planned ahead. So you're packing your lunch ahead by interviewing all the time.
Yeah.
And I like that.
You constantly have to be interviewing and looking for the A-level players in your market. They're very hard to find. There's lots of pretenders. There's lots of B players. There's lots of C players. But they are a drag in an organization. So you have to look for the best of the best and really strive to hire the best of the best. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
Back in my old days in telecommunications, I remember this very distinctly. There was a young lady who was trying to interview to get a position. And she, you know, typically she emailed me her resume and then she followed up with a phone call. And I never return a phone call for an applicant unless they've called back 3 times.
Mm.
Why? Because I want to see someone who can take no for an answer.
And somebody who's persistent.
Yeah, persistent, and just really shows that they really, really want the job. So I really wasn't hiring at this point, and I was very, very busy with year-end financials. But she was persistent, and she kept calling and calling and calling, and I ignored. And then finally, one day, I had received a package, and inside the package was a crystal shoe with a handwritten note saying, just trying to get my foot in the door, can you help me? So she went above and beyond to get my attention. She got my attention, and she ultimately got the job.
Was she Cinderella?
No, she was not. She was not Cinderella, but she became an A-level player because she showed the ability to think on her feet, to find a way to make it happen. You know, the answer is yes. The question is how, if you know how to do it.
Very good. Well, if you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Sedella is our guest. He's founder of Forever Young Med Spa. It's intriguing. The website is foreveryoungmedspa.us. And always interviewing, I think that's brilliant. Interviewing a minimum of 12 interviews. Obviously, if you wait till the last minute, that makes it difficult. But if you're always interviewing, that makes that a lot easier. And the other thing that I thought was interesting about one of the things you shared with us is that the question is, or the question you can answer for us, Brian, is why you need to hire staff that have the ability to market and sell. And that's very different because than what a lot of people think, because obviously a lot of businesses say, well, I got my marketing department, I got my sales department, I got my production, I've got this, that, and the other. But in your book, so to speak, it's everyone is in sales.
Yeah, I've always had two rules for any organization I've ever been in charge of, and that is that everyone's in sales and everyone's a customer service advocate. And if you don't have that mentality, you're going to be in trouble along the way, no matter if it's a receptionist or a janitor. And then, especially in this business, you know, medical folks, doctors, you know, nurse practitioners, they're typically scientific by nature, right? So they're not very outgoing. It's very few and far between to find a doctor that has a great bedside manner. When you find one, it's awesome. So those folks are typically very, very reserved. And when I'll say to a person, I need to understand some of your sales skills, and I'd like to do some tests if you don't mind. And they're like, I'm not in sales. I'm not a salesperson. Like, it's a bad word. And I'll say, well, have you ever been to prom? Yes. Ever go on a date? Yes. Are you married? Yes. Congratulations, you're in sales.
and a pretty good one.
Yeah. And that's what everyone, you know, when you break it down to its simplest form, you know, sales is just advising someone of a product or service through education in the professional sense in the medical field, but it's still sales. You know, if you've ever been on a date, it's a sale.
Yeah, you're so on. If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Sedella is our guest, founder of Forever Young Med Spa. The website is foreveryoungmedspa.us. Brian, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Fascinating stuff. Stay right there.
Thank you.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. I told you it's only 30 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. We always come right back. And with us on the program is Brian Sedella. He is on the line. He is founder of Forever Young Med Spa, foreveryoungmedspa.us. And, you know, you mentioned before the break, Brian, you mentioned about distinguishing between pretenders and players. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, the best a candidate is ever going to be is the day of the interview. I mean, that's what you hope for, right? You're hoping you can interview that A-level player that's going to knock it out of the park. But, you know, resumes and, you know, let's just say some resumes are not entirely truthful.
Oh, come on now, Brian. Really? Come on.
Just once or twice I found that to be the
case. We hear these CEOs getting booted for having a padded resume.
And also face-to-face. I mean, yeah. They may be telling you some let's stretch of the truth stories. So I always give prospective employees something called the pen test. So if you're across from me, I'll say to you, you know, hey, Stephen or Mary, I'd like you to do something for me. I'd like to switch hats. Let's go to a role play real quickly. I want you to pretend that there's three people in the waiting room trying to see me, and you are as well in my office right now trying to sell me a pen, a simple pen. It's the same pen that they have in the waiting room, the three people out there waiting to see me. You all have the same exact pen, so I want you to think about how you would sell that pen to me, and in 3, 2, 1, you're on. And then I shut up.
Wow.
And you'll be surprised. You'll have people that'll break down and cry. You'll have people that will stammer, stutter, and say, I can't do this. And you'll have other people that will take it and knock it out of the park.
And you'll end up with a box of pens.
And with a box of pens. But, I choose a pen because a pen is
so
something
simple.
Everyone has,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, you'll get people who say, well, you're not buying the pen, you're buying the person behind the pen, and that's me.
Yeah.
Or a person will say, well, you're buying the pen, but it's what's inside the pen that's different, because I take out what the manufacturer provides, and I provide my own writing instrument inside the pen that is far superior. You're looking for someone who can think on their feet and get out of a circumstance and again, knock it out of the park.
Be innovative. I'm very curious. I have to ask, Brian, have you done that with doctors?
Yeah, I have.
And how do they handle that? Because they're so out of control. There's no longer in control. And they're used to being in control of what they're doing with the medical practice. How do they handle that?
And that's where you get back to the scientific mind. They'll push back, I'm not in sales.
Yeah.
And I'm not a salesperson. Well, in this business, in the cosmetic field,
because
patients come in knowing almost as much as doctors do or the practitioners do because they research it to death on the internet. So you damn well better be able to sell and convince a patient that what you're doing is in their best interest.
Sales doesn't mean tricking somebody. You're trying to help them understand, and there is a persuading them that what you can do for them is best for them.
That's correct.
That's not a crime.
It's simply educating the patient as to what the options are and why this option is best for them.
You're familiar with the television program Nip Tuck.
Oh yeah, great program.
And so, what do they say when they first meet the patient? The doctor says, "What don't you like about yourself?"
Exactly.
And that's their sales approach. I mean, it's pure sales. It's not, I'm looking at your chart and I'm, you know, any of that. It's so everybody in the organization is in sales.
Well, sales for anyone who's been in sales is two parts listening, one part talking, and that is a great example of tell me what you don't like about yourself. Then shut up, and the patient will tell you. It's not selling; it's listening. The key to effective sales is effective listening, and all too often, people will use the other side, which is their mouth, and talk, without ever understanding what the patient is looking for or what they really need.
I think every single listener, Brian, has had an experience with somebody who does that in a sales capacity. And I've had people come in and meet with me that, you know, they've been to somebody else. You know, we spend a lot of time at our company, Holland Financial, listening, and we ask them questions and trying to understand. And I think a lot of times people get very frustrated. And that's where some of that negativity comes, because it becomes five parts talking and no listening by the salesperson.
And that's a shame, and that's poor training for whoever trained that salesperson. You know, our approach is to hand a patient a mirror and say, you know, if you had a magic mirror, and this was a magic mirror, and it could do anything you want it to do, what would you like to change? And patients love that approach, and they'll tell you what they want to change. You don't have to sell them anything. They're going to tell you, I want my lips bigger. I want their lines around my eyes gone. I want my forehead lines gone. I want to lose 10 years off my face, or I want to body contour this area. Since I had a baby, I want to get rid of this little pooch. They'll tell you.
I love that you do it in a very physical and a visual sense, because sometimes people get it's a little hard when you try to make it abstract or you're just talking across the table. It's like, here, look, tell me. And that lets people really get a sense for where they are.
You know, one of the things we've prided ourselves on is trying to take away and demystify the medicine part of this business and speak in plain English. You know, you can go and talk about all the technology. And we have $1 million of technology and different lasers.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, it's all about what the patient really wants to accomplish.
It's a patient experience.
It's a patient experience.
You know, it's so funny, Brian. There's so much similarities I'm hearing between what you do and we do. We use a term called Finglish to English, and that's what we do, is we translate it from this other language, and that's exactly what you're doing with the medical to helping people understand. If you're just joining us, Brian Sedella is our guest. He's the founder of Forever Young Med Spa, foreveryoungmedspa.us. We'll take a quick break, Brian. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you've enjoyed the program. I've been a student for the last 20 or so minutes. Brian Sedella is putting me in school on how to hire people, and you know, because part of having a business is keeping and getting good people to work with you and help provide the service that you offer to clients. And I saved my favorite for last, Brian. Okay. One of the things I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about is performance-based compensation. And so tell me a little bit about that for the business owners out there listening like I am. What is it that can be done with performance-based compensation to really motivate and reward employees properly?
Well, hopefully we're not going to get into the politics of this, but the short answer to this is that I believe that every single employee, from the receptionist to the janitor and everyone in between, should be on a performance-based plan, that there should be skin in the game, that all people are different in their performance opportunities and what they deliver to an organization, so that, you know, you can't say I have, and typically performance-based plans are typically only in sales, But everyone in my organization, from the receptionist on to a doctor, is rewarded based on how well they do. So performance-based compensation always has a salary component, but there's always a bonus opportunity if they go above and beyond.
So if when the train comes in, everybody rides.
When the trade comes in, everyone runs. That's
so
correct.
It's a function. One of the things that I've always used when I've looked at any of my employees that listen to the program know this about me is there's two key components for, you know, incentive or additional compensation or bonuses. And that is, one, we need to make money. Okay, that's the first step. And then two, it's merit. It's based on each individual's person's contribution.
And I'll give you an example of this because today's actually payroll. I have one of our estheticians who had a killer month. She had a killer month because she went out on her own during the evening hours and weekends and did marketing and bring in an additional 15 to 20 patients.
Wow.
That resulted in triple the revenue of the next closest esthetician. So do you think she made more money than the other people? Of course she did.
I think
she went out and made it happen.
I think you're going and getting her lunch for is what I think.
Absolutely. But that's my point. Is you want to find the people, especially in this economy, you know, the old days of put a brick-and-mortar building in, build it, and they will come is over. Now you have to build it as best you can, but you also have to go out and make it happen. You can't wait for the phone to ring and the door to open.
Brian,
you have to do synergistic marketing.
You're right on it. You've got it nailed. I'm so glad we had you on the program. I know our business listeners in our market have enjoyed this, and we'll be putting this on our website so our listeners can go and listen to it again and again. Brian Sedella has been our guest, founder of Forever Young Med Spa, foreveryoungmedspa.us. Brian, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.